I'm so happy to be speaking today with Maggie F. Keenan, EDD, who is the owner and chief giving strategist at givingadvice.com. Maggie is also a author, a consultant, and she works with businesses on their philanthropy, giving, and cause marketing programs. Maggie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Olivia, for having me.
And I brought you on today because you have a book titled Small Businesses Give Big, Why Charitable Giving is a Great Business Strategy, which really speaks to the message that I'm putting out there about how businesses can make a social difference through the nature of their business. And a lot of the people who are reading Cause Capitalism and coming to me are small and mid-sized businesses. I would say actually quite small. I have a lot of one or two man teams who are looking to integrate an element of cause as they build out their business. So I'm really pleased to have you here today. One of the things that I read is that over 90% of small businesses contributed to their communities last year. And in what ways have you seen this? How did they contribute?
Well, from my experience, what I see, small businesses in backyards of America, small, you know, towns in America, what they seem to be doing are giving here, giving there, and giving a little to a lot, so that in their own community, they are really, they have a desire to be the good neighbor, the good charitable-minded business, so they donate cash, they donate in-kind donations. And probably few and far between, but you'll probably see a few even team up and have their staff, say less than 25 employees, if that was a good number, kind of get out there and do something on a Saturday for a cause. So that's been what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit of cause marketing mixed in there, which is kind of the 10% of, you know, and kind of the checkout counter type of thing, but nothing much beyond that.
And are most of the causes that they're supporting are local causes, so they're really making this investment, this community presence? Is that how you're seeing it?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my experience. However, I will say with the onset of, you know, huge natural disasters where everybody feels kind of compelled to do something, there are small businesses. I just read one this morning, and so forgive me, on some blog that's, doing something for a local relief, for the relief efforts in Haiti. So I think beyond the localism, if you will, that they do step up to the plate for really big disasters that cause the world to come together.
So we have over 90% of businesses doing some type of, small businesses doing some type of giving. What prompted you to write the book Small Businesses Give Big? I mean, if they're already giving, how did you see that this book could help them, and what did you really want to guide them to do?
Well, the reason I wrote the book, or the purpose, was really to inspire others, that other small business owners that feel that they are not in a place to give back yet, meaning that they're waiting for a time when they have more money to give back, or they're waiting for a time when they have more time to give back, because the very nature of their business is calling them to focus on growing and building their business. So that it was the purpose, for them to read other stories throughout the book, and to be inspired, or to kind of get them to think that, wow, we can really connect and make a difference on, I'll say, less than a dime, if you will. And so the stories are really about the passion for something beyond the what's in it for me-ers type of individuals that are out there. And that giving, the corporate philanthropy, we hear that big word buzzing around, and so small businesses, I think, tend to think that for those that don't give or only give a little, that that they can't make a big impact, and that's simply not the case. They really can do wonderful things and have an impact that grows their business and makes a difference for the causes. And it's not all about how much you have to give. It's what you do with what you have to give that makes the difference. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into some of the benefits for small businesses in setting up these types of giving programs or social missions.
Well, I think, you know, beyond the core benefits that most of us in the field already know, the first would be that it enhances the business's image in the community. It kind of creates a goodwill about your business because the community sees that a company stands for something beyond the bottom line and that they're aligned with that they have a social value and that they're committed and feel responsible to giving back to the community where they live and work. So I think that that creates a more positive image for a business and kind of elevates its presence in the community. And that kind of ties into how it kind of heightens your visibility and awareness that that having an overarching platform or cause platform creates a message to the community and or to your competitors, if you will, that you are all about, you know, making an impact for a social issue, which you stand for. But this is also what I feel small businesses don't do well because they're all across the board. Some of the other, you know, benefits that we see is it influences buying behavior. I know for me personally that I will always stick to a brand who has a great corporate culture and that it also has a commitment to solving a social cause that they get their arms around. And so they're just some of the ones. I think what I have also seen and through my book and through the small businesses interviewed for the book is that there is a, on the warm side or the fluffy side, the good feel side, is that there really is a joy or a deep satisfaction that the business owner knows that giving back is not just a right thing to do, perhaps, but that in an authentic way, it is a good thing to do through your business. So it's not necessarily just the right thing to do, but it's the good thing to do. And that really brings a level of satisfaction to them personally. And I also think that that ties into their business, that they have something that they feel also proud of beyond building their business. And so I think that transcends a message that is not really put out there because, you know, how do you measure that? So there's just some of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the characteristics that you see, that you've noticed through your research and your work among small businesses who give back? Are there commonalities that you've identified?
Yeah, there's a few that were kind of core themes that came out of my book, and it was just so apparent. I'm sure that there's others. But one of the ones, which I just mentioned, was that there's a deep sense of purpose to their community, that collectively the business owners in my book are not only compassionate individuals, but they feel a sense to serve their community where they live. And then they also do expand out, you know, beyond their community and give across the globe, but that there is a geographic boundary that influences their sphere, if you will. One of the other ones was, I thought this was really fascinating, that for small business owners, you know, we say we are our business and our business is us. And what I found was that that their business giving was a direct reflection of their individual or family values that carried over or was directly connected to their company's values. So by integrating their personal values, because it's a gray, squishy area. Corporate America might be really different, but for small business owners, it's that gray, squishy area where your values do transcend or integrate over into your business activities, your business decisions, and really the principles that that which you serve for, that stand for your belief. And what was some of the I think one of the other ones that was not too surprising, but it was just really grand to see, is that they kind of let their giving or the rewards of their giving spill back into their business without seeking the results to giving. And what I mean by that is that they did not give with the intention to get. That their giving was out of this place of sincerity, authenticity, and great transparency without it being expecting a reward for acting on good intentions, if that makes sense. And you know, what they did with their message about their giving was unique to each individual, but they didn't seek to get, which I thought was really great.
And the businesses who are being able to make a stand in their community or differentiate themselves in their community through their giving programs and through these activities, beyond storefronts, can they be businesses who are B2B or, you know, e-commerce sites or a business? Did they still have the same impact if they don't have a physical storefront in this, you know, at this more local level?
I don't understand your question.
Are
you asking about a virtual presence only?
I'm asking, right, if they can still have, I think sometimes when I think of local businesses and small businesses, we think of a, you know, our mind goes to these mom and pop or stores,
right,
where it's easy to have that interaction with the customer.
Right.
Can these businesses still reap the same benefits even if they don't have an actual storefront?
Yeah, if they don't have a shingle. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought you were getting at. Yes. As a matter of fact, for the solo entrepreneurs your influential entrepreneurs that are quite successful, that are a 1 to 2 man team or woman team, if you will, absolutely they can. You do not have to have a storefront on Main Street in your own local community with a shingle that, you know, that drives foot traffic into your business. For those that are virtual based, and you mentioned e-commerce, they can have as great an impact or as much of an impact through their giving, and how that's done or communicated and reaping the same benefits is all in your story. It's all in your message. And notice I didn't say in your marketing of how you communicate your giving, but it's all integrated because your social mission is so deeply tied to what you do, whether it's in a home office or in your storefront, that it's integrated into like what I call the very DNA or the fabric of your message, which is carried out through your business, through your decisions, on everything that you do in your business. Your social mission is a component of it. It is not this aside project or thing that you get to when it's like, oh, we should really give to because it's that time of the year too. So as long as it's integrated into the business, and the message is very, very compelling, you can still reap the same rewards. So whether it's foot traffic coming into your store or unique visitors to your website.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you talked about having that integrated throughout the business, because I think sometimes there's so many terms that are used. I mean, social mission, corporate social responsibility, philanthropy, corporate giving. So when we talk about giving in this conversation, mm-hmm. I think we're setting the parameters to mean giving back, and that doesn't mean it can mean anything from a once a year donation. Now that's not really what the conversation that you and I are
having.
To having employee programs, to having socially responsibly invested 401ks and, you know, health benefits, to cause marketing programs, and there's a whole host of tools that a business can use to set up the social mission.
Yeah.
And that's those are the businesses and the types of programs that you work with businesses to implement, correct?
I do not personally. I only do strategic philanthropic giving programs and cause marketing. I do not get into the corporate social responsibility, which entails, you know, another set of elements along with giving. I do not touch that. It just is not my thing. It's not my bag. Or how a business does their social investing. That is a whole other set that is not what I'm about. Mm-mm. Mine is strictly about how you give back to causes directly through your charitable giving or your cause-related marketing efforts. And Mom, it's clean, it's neat, and it's simple to me.
And through charitable giving, well, let's get into some of the ways then. So first let me ask, before we get into the tactics of how, well, so when should a business begin their giving program?
I always say yesterday, but really, you know, all kidding aside, it is really important for a business owner that, and those author, and those that were in my book, that they did it from the get-go. That if you are a business that has only been around for 6 months or 6 years, if your business, if your giving is here and there, or you have not been engaged in it, I always say the defining moment is now. And this goes back to one of my favorite, well, one of my favorite people is William Penn. But one of my favorite quotes is, if I can share it with you, it's, I expect to pass through this life but once. If therefore there can be any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do to any fellow human being, let me do it now and not defer nor or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. And I just think that that kind of is a great grounding quote or message for a business owner, that you can start, you know, really yesterday, but really starting today and starting small, but just getting started.
That's great. I spoke with a man yesterday. He runs a tea company, and he was based in New Orleans, and he had a successful cafe there and a small wholesale business, and then was pushed out after Katrina, and now he's moved online, and he takes 10% of his of profits off the top and donates those to Mercy Corps to help pay for social services and infrastructure for the people who pick his tea in India in these very targeted regions. And he's got this, I mean, his business is growing, and it's certainly, I mean, he's in a point where it's struggling. So he's not a total success story yet, but he is very much along the lines of, I will not go and make my money first and then give back. These two can be done at the same time, congruently, and that's his mission. So,
awesome.
So let's start with how you get this giving program up and going. Now that we know that today is the day.
Well, I tend to take my clients through I have a 6-step impact, IMPACT, each standing an acronym, letter standing for a different, you know, part of my process. And I think for small businesses, without engaging with, you know, a professional to help get you going, although I always suggest that because it's just not a good thing to do, it is a business strategy. And it is as much as your assets that you are using and investing in around your giving, it should really be managed and measured like every other aspect of your business. Not that it has to be this other, you know, thing you feel you have to do. I think by streamlining it and getting the system in place, it just kind of, it becomes turnkey, if you will. And I think Joe Waters talks about turnkey cause marketing. And so having said that, I think the first place a business can really get started is to first stop and look at what you've been giving to in the past, you know, the past couple of years, and say, well, why did we give that? Was it a colleague or a friend or a customer that asked us to give back and we just didn't want to say no? Or were we really committed and this was a choice for a cause that we selected? And so look at that pattern and then come up with kind of a set of guidelines to say, well, without getting into much about assessments and all that, but, you know, what is really important to us? What do we really want to stand for? Because this is long term. This is not about what the next, you know, colored ribbon of the month is, which doesn't tell me a lot about what a company stands for other than they're just all about giving back here and there. I really want to know what this person or business feel they want to contribute and help solve some social ill in this world. What can they get their arms around and be committed to? So that is really the first key step, is getting very, very clear, having great clarity around what it is you feel, 100% committed to, because that will, it will be what drives the benefits for your business to grow, and what will also, and people don't think about this too much, is what builds the relationship with the nonprofit that you're giving back to, because one of their first steps towards growth is, you know, donor relations and moving the donor up the giving ladder. So if we can look at from the other side of the coin, is what is the nonprofit really in give about businesses giving back to? It's about really building relationships and cultivating those relationships with businesses. And that can be so fruitful when it's done with a strategy and over the long term. So that's key. And not to be too long-winded about it, but that's really key, is first coming up with that identifying a well-aligned cause. It doesn't have to be necessarily aligned with your business, but it should have some attraction at least to your customers and clients, you know, on some, you know, level or continuum grade there. It should be at least connected that they, too, can feel committed if you want it to engage them. So
I was just going to ask you that question about whether how do you counsel your businesses you work with it? Is it a cause that they're both, they have an emotional or personal connection to, but that also has, like you just mentioned, some type of thread of relation to their business?
I think it's a balance between the two, especially for small businesses, because it's, like I said earlier, it's so hard to get away from or to disconnect yourself from your business. You know, it's like, it's not about walking out your home door, you know, your doorstep every day and walking into your storefront every day and saying, okay, I left me back there at home and now this is who I am. I think that there is a great value in working with both, and that's part of the process which I take businesses through, and it has worked really well. First, I think the greatest strength, though, Olivia, is that businesses, the business owner has to personally feel connected to it. And once they say, listen, this is what I'm 100% connected to, then we find an approach or a way that becomes revealed through a process that they didn't think was even connected to their business. So I've yet to really meet one where there is not some type of, you know, an alignment there. You know, it just takes a little digging to get to it, but it can be found.
Mm-hmm. So what's the next step once they've identified that cause or the issue of the nonprofit?
Well, Olivia, that's what people hire me for. All kidding aside, I think another step, I'll just give you three. First is to identify. I think the next one would be to decide how you want to give, not what you want to give, but just how you want to give. And that there is tactic, you know, strategy. It's, you know, through cause marketing. It's through your team doing some type of, you know, athletic event, or it's also just about writing a check. So I think you need to look at, you know, the focus of three ways that you want to give back to that cause. And that here again is, you know, up to the business owner with, you know, kind of looking at their assets, what they can give, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are. And once they get around all of those issues, it's really coming up with maybe three key ways.
Mm-hmm. And it could be a combination of those, or it could be only one.
Yeah, always a combination of. It should, in my professional opinion, it should never be just one way.
Okay.
Because, when I feel personally and professionally when I work with business owners, when there's more than one way, you don't get tired of it in a way, if you will. And the other way is that, you know, one way it can engage your customers and your clients, and in another way it's just you and your team. So I think that it needs to definitely be balanced. Mm-hmm.
And do you suggest that businesses set a budget for this, or how do they kind of control and have an expectation about what the assets they're going to give?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it. With small businesses, it's always, there's cash flow cycles, And by looking at the cycles of your cash flow throughout the year should determine then what you do and when you do it. So, for example, if a business has a real cash flow issue during summer months, that would be a great time to then look at your volunteering activity. You see?
Right, and then if they're gearing up around the holidays.
So it all comes down to cash flow. Yeah, it comes down to cash flow for small businesses when those cycles hit for them.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us, without giving away all your trade secrets, about crafting the story and the message? And I will use the word marketing in there as well, just to get everyone who's listening on board with what we're talking about.
Yes.
So once you have this internal plan in place and you've got it integrated in these components of your business and you're feeling passionate about a cause, mm-hmm. Then how do you start to let your customers know?
What I said when I was on Wells Fargo, their Business Insight series, marketing your business philanthropy, what I feel is important is first the message. And the message becomes you have to look at how you communicate to your community what you do. You have to look at how you communicate what your communication efforts are to your customers, your clients, your prospective customers, your stakeholders, your vendors, everybody that you have touch points with. How do you communicate to those different entities? And then you need to look at strategies or ways that are appropriate for communicating your message to each of those different constituents. And including employees, if you have a larger company where you have 100 employees, how do you communicate what you do and how you internal newsletters, whatever it is. So you have to look at your different constituent groups and then how you currently communicate to them and then find a way throughout the year when your giving is accomplished, for whatever it is, that you then find a way to share that message and then also share it at other times. It's not all about, oh, look what we did last weekend or, oh, by the way, this week we're getting ready too. I think that the message is integrated and crafted in a way where it's kind of business as usual. It's business as usual.
And when you say these different strategies, what are some examples of strategies that, depending on the constituent group, that businesses could use to communicate this?
Yeah, I think obviously blog spots are a great avenue. Internal newsletters, e-newsletters that make or hard copy newsletters that go out to your groups. For clients and customers, we've done inserts. Tags on apparel that have a message that's cheap enough to have that, made and attached to the apparel item that's, for purchase. Obviously, your website. I also think different stories throughout the year that highlight giving activity is a great extra message to share. And the thing about the message is what I do with clients, Olivia, is it is not all about what you're doing. It's not all about how much you gave. It's not about the number of volunteer, hours that you volunteered. Although there would probably be some professionals that might feel differently and debate me on that. I think that that's part of it, but that should not be your driving message. Mm-mm. It's a part of the message.
And so it's instead then you are suggesting. I might be putting words in your mouth based on what I think, but correct me. So it's really telling about the story and the impact. So maybe you had 25 volunteers do something, but what happened was that a program got built that now this community of 200 children will have some place to go.
Right. Your message should be cause-centric, not ego-centric. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good? Cause-centric. That's really good. Don't put that there in your book. That's egocentric, what I just said.
Egocentric, that's funny. So what are some of the mistakes that you see businesses make that in their marketing and their messaging? Are there mistakes beyond just being egocentric in what they're delivering? And
yeah.
Are there any other examples or guidelines you can share for businesses who are listening to this?
Yeah, I think in their marketing, well, first of all, the biggest mistake I see small business owners make, Olivia, is they don't have a giving plan in place. You know, sticky notes and stuff you write on a legal pad about what you're to do next is not a real giving plan. Although sticky notes tend to become that for somebody with their business. But so that's the biggest mistake. But with their marketing message, if you really look at websites and what companies are doing and their mission statements that are up, you know, social mission statements and what they're invested in, and then you go and you see pictures of the team out there, building a house on a weekend, and that's all wonderful. But a lot of them their message is measured by what they did. And so, great, okay. I guess I would want to take it one step further. And then how you craft that's really, you know, unique and individual to each business owner. But it definitely should be more cause-centric. So the biggest mistake I see is in their marketing and their messages. It's look at all we did. Isn't this, aren't we wonderful?
And instead it should be what?
I think it should be a little bit of a balance. I think certainly consumers and customers and community want to hear what the company did. You don't want to be vague about it. You want to be transparent. But at the same time, I think that if you're really committed, and this goes back to the alignment, the 100% committed, then part of your message is about the cause itself. What difference did that make for the cause? And how is what you're doing help to be a part of that solution in the long term?
You know, I'm going to venture to say that it's tough to, and I think you did a good job on differentiating that difference, but I think that the nuances that are in communicating the cause and being cause-centric, that comes through when, as you just said, when you're 100% committed to something.
Yep.
It can't
right.
help, you can't hold it back.
And you can't hold it back,
it's not
that's
something
right.
that you can, if you don't feel that way, you can't. Teach it.
Oh yeah, and I can always smell a mile away. Maybe it's just because I do what I do, and you know that's part of you know. But I can always smell a mile away when I read a message that it is how committed really. You get a sense or a feel. Well, at least I do. A sense or a feel about really the level of commitment or in the message. It's like oh well, they're doing this because of this and. You cannot get away from, let me say this again, you cannot get away from, if you are 100% committed to this social issue, you cannot get around not making the message cause-centric. It just, it's too Jekyll and it doesn't work. It can't happen.
Are there any other common mistakes or pitfalls that you see for businesses?
Well, the one I mentioned earlier about not having a giving plan, I think treating it like an aside project, I've always said that. They treat it like an aside project. It's not integrated into their business and managed and kind of measured, if you will, like every other aspect of their business. It's always like this other nice thing to do. And part of that is just the educational curve. Many small business owners, when you started your business, there was nothing in your business startup manual that said, oh, by the way, this is how you can give back. You know, it's like they might talk about other systems and other aspects of marketing, accounting, and all of that. But there's nothing in there that really kind of dictates or guidelines about how you can be given. Now, there's some great guides out there, I'm sure. But at the same time, it's about having a giving plan and doing it from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. My next question was, should businesses feel self-conscious if they really, they have limited budgets, they're a small business. Is it worth publicizing too little? I mean, let me be clear. If they can't make a big contribution, but they still are committed to something, is there a downfall or a danger? Should they feel self-conscious about sharing what they can do?
I don't think that they have to share their dollars and cents. You know, there's no guideline out there that says you have to share that. I think that the message for them is more so about the level of commitment, and then looking also for ways to engage your clients and customers to give back. I'm launching in March. I'm going into beta this week. A way for small businesses and solo entrepreneurs to give back, and not a dime have to come out of their pocket. I don't know why I never thought about it before, but so there is a way to give back, and it be substantial. I mean, it can be five figures, believe it or not, and there's a way to do that. And not a dime have to, well, I say a dime, but it's not about you writing a check. So they do not have to feel committed about sharing how their dollars and cents. I think it's more important to show as you grow, first off, from the get-go, your message and your commitment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you are launching that in March?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know when. I mean, I'm going
right,
to debate
listeners, you can go over to givingadvice.com to check that out in March, or check back on Cloud Capitalism, and I will post a note to Maggie about it.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So how did you find the businesses that you profile in the Small Businesses Give Big, your book? And is there one or two stories that you could share with us about what they've done and how they've created these giving programs?
Yeah. What I wanted to do is have a mix of small businesses, everything from a solo entrepreneur, literally a solo entrepreneur with maybe a virtual team of two, to a small business that is started out as a shop, you know, a grocery store. And I wanted to have a breadth of different businesses in towns across America, you know, whether you have a shingle or you don't have a shingle. So how I then came about to finding the small businesses was really through a lot of just, internet search. Some I knew, two I already knew of, and really wanted to share their story because I thought that they had a great message to share. And the others, it was very serendipitous. And of those that I asked, not one said no. And those that I asked had just really great stories. One was a mortuary that's been around for 100 years, family owned and operated. They have less than 100 employees. And they have been very philanthropic in their giving to their local community. And I want to say it's Arizona. And so over 100 years, and how the giving started was when you read the story, it goes back to the founder, the great-grandfather, the grandfather of the business that started the mortuary. And so his whole compassion for wanting to help a family whose baby had died was just that story just has carried over 100 years and has been really such a part of their giving back to the community. Another one that I really loved was an entrepreneur, kind of a very influential entrepreneur who has just a website, a virtual website, and she loves to party. She loves great parties. She likes big parties. She's all about fun. And everything that she does in her business has been fun. And that's the way kind of her brand has been built in many ways. And so hers was all about bringing together her network, her list, her colleagues, her clients, under one big roof and having a party that raises money for a particular cause that was near and dear to our heart. And then to this day, her kind of her, our, I guess in a way, her party theme, if you will, still continues. And I think that that is that's another great way that this particular business owner gives back. There's just so many. I can't everything from there's just some everything from an artist to a fitness trainer who has really felt compelled with vets coming back, working with them one-on-one as his way of giving back to get them to a place physically where they're strong again. And there's just so many different ways. So here again, that's not all about cash giving. Or, you know, that is about really time and the value that he gives back to men and women that serve. That is also just another a great story. God, I can't even, there's so many in this book. Some of them are breast cancer related. Some of them have actually, there's a company that was a lumber company that actually went and set up more of a fund, an endowment. So that's a little bit more structured. God, there's so many. So anyway, there's just some that I can share with you.
That's really interesting, and that's a collection. So it was just it was your research and some serendipity that connected you with them.
Yeah, and then the lovely part that they came out of it, Olivia, was some that were more structured with their cash, and it was all cash, and others that had more of a giving back a percent, and then others that was it was all about all three of the, you know, time, money, and treasure. So it was a just a nice blend of different ways of giving back that somebody can walk away with and say, wow, I feel that's really a cool idea. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the stories that you present are can be used as not only motivational, but somewhat templates of blueprints or ideas for other small businesses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, Maggie, you mentioned before that it's important to engage your customers and your clients to give back as well and not just have it come from the business owners or the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share one or two ways, strategies that businesses can move that giving down the line and really engage their customers in their mission?
And one of them will be with the program that I'm launching at the end of March, which I kind of told you about. But, you know, cause marketing is a great way, obviously, that customers and clients can engage in the giving back through your business and then them being a part of it. Here was an example of a techie group of guys in the book that actually they call themselves computer geeks and would never run a marathon, although the idea of running a marathon was great. But what they decided to do was kind of grow old winter man beard, and they held a contest, and they put the photos up, and it had like real time their beards would grow, and their customers and clients and others could, you know, a dollar a vote for whoever's beard was the best by the end of winter. And for each vote, each click was a vote, or each click was a dollar for a vote, if you will. They raised over $2,000 to give back to a, you know, one of their favorite causes. And so that is, I always say, God, just get creative. You know, if you just take the time to brainstorm and get creative, I hate the expression get out of the box, but just get creative. There's so many ways that small businesses can give back and enjoy it and have fun, and that's a great example of just engaging your clients and customers. And, you know, $2,000 is not a small chunk of change for a small business, and that's how that came to be, which I think is just one of the best examples,
you know,
I can give.
Right. It is, because that's something that young men would be inclined to do anyway.
But they had a young woman, that was, and so she kind of, you know, had a fake beard, you know? So it was like, how could they engage her and then talk about it being hilarious and fun? She got one of those old Santa Claus type beards and played in the dollar a vote too.
Mm-hmm. That's great, right? It doesn't have to be something that you wouldn't know. It doesn't have to be separate from your life and your interests, whether
right.
No matter what they may be. So, so Maggie, how did you? I just wanted to take a step back and ask you how you came to work with small businesses on these giving strategies and programs.
I come from a background of working for a foundation, and at the time I was a program officer at the foundation. I not only loved what I did, but also over the course of working with the grant-making programs and the scholarship programs, I began to see that, two things. One of the things I saw was kind of a disconnect between donors, perceived needs of a community versus the real needs when you work with nonprofits. There was a little bit of a disconnect there. And it was like, well, how can we really share with donors, what the real needs of a community are? So that was number one. But really what I saw was businesses in the community that nonprofits were always like, what can we get, what can we get, what can we get? Or we got to send the same, the package for the golf tournament, same time, this time next year they get the same packet with the same sponsorships. And that there's very little development or cultivation of that relationship. It's like just from the nonprofit point of view, it was what can we get from the business? And so that disconnect, and then business owners just being in their business every day, maybe not being as engaged or with the nonprofit sector in their community. So whatever came in their mail slot as far as, donation requests is what they responded to. And what I decided to do, and it was a good time for me, that when I started giving advice, I really wanted to connect the methods or the strategies of strategic giving or strategic philanthropy for business owners, because I felt that the strategy or the method that could be applied or the tools that we use in philanthropy could really benefit businesses in making wiser, well-managed, better measured decisions about their giving. And so I just took that leap and really never looked back.
That's interesting. And since you've worked with foundations and businesses and nonprofits, mm-hmm. Between foundations and businesses, which both have a power to affect social change and to, mm-hmm. as we've been talking about, to give assets and money and whatnot, of the two, is there one that you think has a greater long-term impact? And what are some of the strengths of each in affecting social change?
Obviously, I think foundations, if we're just going to talk about foundations, are primarily set up to exist in perpetuity, right? So if we're going to talk about long-term, impact or longevity, then foundations would be more likely to, that would be the answer to your first question, simply from the way they are designed, okay? Businesses come and go. Now, what was the second part of your question? What are the strengths of each?
The strengths or the advantages, what are the competencies of each?
Yeah, I think that the competencies of foundations would be their business is to give back. So having said that, we hope that most, probably the larger ones that we all know of, well-named ones, all the way down to smaller family unstaffed foundations, we would hope that there would be, one of their strengths would be their guidelines, the way they give back, that they're all about measuring their impact and using their dollars that they give effectively, because that is their job. Their job is to give effectively. and to make sure that the dollars that they are giving are well spent. And that's the whole discussion that we read about around Sean with Tactical Philanthropy. So and that's really advantageous to really follow, I think. But that is a huge discussion. And for businesses, I think that they're...
If I could just ask one more question. I'm sorry to interrupt, but if for foundations, they do have those, they want to measure and they want to give effectively, and that's a high priority, but do they lack the same type of mechanisms that a business does to really make sure that gets done? I mean, there's not a lot of, if a business doesn't do it correctly, they can be bankrupt, they can lose a customer base, they can blah, blah, blah. Foundations have so much more, you know, by nature of their design, they're so much more cocoon that there's not really a risk. Maybe a public embarrassment, but there's not a real risk of making those poor choices.
Oh, contrary. I totally disagree with that. Because here's why. Their monies are invested. Their investment monies, which they use to give, fluctuate with the market. So at times they have a smaller pot to give from than at other times in bull market or bear market. So that's number one. They have a fiduciary responsibility to really use those dollars wisely. And so having said that, because that's the very nature of foundations, they have a fiduciary responsibility there, not because they're just rich and wealthy and can just give all that they can give. And so I think that the risk of not giving prudently or wisely comes back to, on the end of it, it hurts the nonprofits in their that they give to or in their community. Let's say that they're community-oriented or across the world. Because if they wind up giving to a nonprofit who is not as effective in following their mission or is not as effective in pulling together and sustaining a program for which they were seeking funding, then that is money not well spent. And you might as well just flush it down the toilet. Where it could have gone to when you make decisions and make wise decisions to those nonprofits who make an impact and measure that impact. So I think that, and as far as public embarrassment, there's a couple of stories to share, but I don't think it's appropriate, where poor decisions have been made, and maybe for the larger, more high-profile foundations that get caught up in that, you know, communication, it can negatively shine on, have a negative impact on their trustees, on their staff, and, you know, and send a negative message, I think. So I think that there is, while it won't hurt their pot of money altogether and go bankrupt, unlike a business, I do think that the biggest mistake is that it, or the biggest impact in a negative way, is that it hurts the nonprofits that they then could have given to, if that makes, you get where I'm going with that?
I love it. I'm glad I interrupted with my question. That was a perfect answer.
Yeah.
And then
if you do say so yourself.
Get back to the strengths of businesses, the strengths of the business as the core competency of that.
I think I don't know how to quite answer that. I guess the strength. How are you asking that, like, the strength of business? What do you mean? Like,
does a business have an advantage that a foundation doesn't in trying to make the world a better place?
Well, obviously, I think that just from a brand awareness point of view, that is an advantage for businesses to give back. I think that while I'm not a proponent of this message, there are many that are, that says that companies have some type of responsibility to give back. And so if you're not a part of that, if you believe in that platform, that if you don't, you're kind of seen as, you know, not a charitable or good neighbor in your community, and that you're stingy, or we're not going to ask that, don't bother asking that guy because they don't give nothing, you know, that type of thing. So I think that there's some advantages to the growth of a business that we mentioned about earlier, which are some of the benefits, but there's potential growth that can be advantageous to a business, I think, beyond just the bottom line, which is probably a bit better thing than just building the bottom line through your giving.
So you said, you just mentioned that your personal belief is that businesses aren't obligated to give back. And
no.
So you see it not as an obligation, but as a benefit to them.
I think
right?
It's a benefit, right. I don't think it should be an obligation. I think that if anything becomes an obligation, you wind up not doing it well. And then you're not into it, and you do it because you feel you have to be obligated to do it. And we all know what it all feels like when we feel obligated to exercise, or we should do this, or we should do that. I think in the adult world, the word should go away. And so I think, having said that they should not feel obligated to, but they should feel there should be some sense of personal commitment from a value point, from your values, that kind of drives your decision, as opposed to you just should. Yeah.
Well, Maggie, that was great. I'm glad that I asked about that obligation versus benefits. That was an interesting answer, and it makes a lot of sense. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to share with us today?
I think one of the biggest things that I could probably leave your audience with is that, you know, there's enough problems in this world to be solved, and there's, you know, diseases to be cured and individuals to help. And really what it takes is people and businesses that are passionate enough to want to help solve them. And I think that giving back, no matter how it's done, what strategy or tactic you choose, although I go back to those three, you should have three different ones, that giving can be really a rich opportunity for business growth, to make meaningful connections with your community and your customers, whether it's in the community on Main Street or your community or your tribe is online. And it's a great way to champion a cause and to stand for something in this world that you feel committed to, that your success transcends kind of your desires, your own desires, to your desire to help others.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
For more interviews about cause capitalism, visit causecapitalism.com.